desires y'all's prayer this evening. The subject that's on my heart, I feel like, if anything, I should be a student of right now. Not somebody standing up, but the Lord has given me a burden. One that He has been working with me on personally. That's why I feel like I should be a student, because I have been one. But one that I also feel like is something that He wants to challenge all of us with. So I wrote the question on the board, will there be faith? And if we go to Luke chapter 18, and verses 6 through 8. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? And I've thought about that statement, especially with some of the, training the Lord's been putting me through the last little bit. What is faith? What is faith? What did He mean here that will there be faith when He comes? Will He find faith on the earth? A lot of times, what do we think of faith? A lot of people say, well, it's a belief. Is that it? Just a belief? Is that all? I find it interesting that this statement came after the parable of the unjust judge. What's that parable about? Well, there was a woman that desired something from the judge, needed him to work on her behalf. And what did this widow woman do? Did she approach the judge once and say, okay, He's heard my plea, I have faith and I believe that He's going to take care of it, and now I'm just going to sit back and wait? Was that what she did? No. What did she do? She kept going to the judge. How many times? We don't have a record in the parable, but enough times that the judge finally says, you know something? If I ever wanted to get any rest from this woman, I need to go take care of this for her, because otherwise she's just going to keep bugging me. And I got to thinking about that. What kind of faith, then, is the Lord going to be looking for when He comes? And the thought came to me, He's looking for an active faith. Something that's not just, well, I believe. There was a formula that I saw, and I like it. It says faith equals belief plus trust, plus action. And I thought about that. I really think that is a good definition of faith. Because if you just go with belief, the definition of belief says an opinion or judgment in which a person is fully persuaded. It can also be used for persuasion or opinion when the evidence is not so clear as to leave doubt. Used with qualifying words such as firm, full, or strong belief. So a strong belief, just a belief, you could still have doubts. If you doubt, do you think you're going to get something from God? Isn't there a verse that talks about with nothing doubting? Well, what about trust? The definition for trust is confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. So, there's a story. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Charles Blondin. He was a person that did tightrope walking back in the 1890s, I think it was. He went back and forth across the Niagara Falls several times. I believe at one time he crossed it on stilts. One time he crossed it on a bicycle. One time he walked across it backwards and then came back across pushing a wheelbarrow. And according to what went on, it says when he got back across with the wheelbarrow, he asked the crowd, Do you all believe that I could carry a person across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow? And the crowd, oh yes, we believe. So then he said, who wants to get in? No one. And to me, that's one of the things I think we start running into in the world today. And one of the things that I think Christ is concerned about, there's a lot of believers. But where's the faith? How active is it? The brother's testimony, you know, talking about at times, you're on top of the mountain. And then if you're not careful, faith becomes fear. When he said that, I thought of the Apostle Peter walking on water. That story has always struck me because your human mind, my human mind anyhow, says if I'm walking on water, my faith isn't going to falter. I'm standing on water. What could take me down? What was it that took him down? He looked around. And he saw the waves and the billows and just like the brother said, fear. Fear showed up. But just like in the brother's testimony, what happened when he said, help me? Jesus stuck a hand out. You know, Peter, you wanted to walk on water. I'm willing to grow your faith. You walked on water. I knew you would find it challenging. And I knew you might even see the waves and get scared. So I didn't just get you out on water and walk away. I got you out on that water and I stayed by you to make sure you'd be safe. So that you could walk back to the boat with me. You wouldn't have to swim. You know? I would challenge us. How active is our faith? What do we really believe in? I want to go to Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. And verse 6. Acts 3 and verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this is the crux of the burden the Lord has put on my heart. What kind of faith do you think it takes to walk up to a stranger, in this case, I believe a man that has been lame from birth, and tell them, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk? Folks, like I tell you, I feel like I'm definitely a student here. The Lord's been working with me. Where do I stand on being able to believe to the point of acting in the trust like that? It's been a challenge to me because we look at our world today, we look at all the things going on, we hear people talk about, we just don't see as much healing as we used to. We don't see the miracles in the past. And the thought comes to me, will he find faith when he returns? Because what is our faith? Is it a belief? Is it a belief and a trust, but we don't act on it? Jesus, when you look at a lot of the miracles he did, Jesus used the same type of terminology. In Luke chapter 5, verses 20 through 24, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. We drop on down to chapter 7 of Luke, verses 12 through 14. Now when he came nigh to the gates of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And going on into Luke chapter 8, verses 53-54. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead, the little girl. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And also down in John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus standeth him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And I was challenged by this. Who do we believe in? Who is our faith in? What kind of example did he set? There are times that he did not give clear commands for them to rise up. There was a time with the lepers, the 10 lepers, where he told them, okay, you want to be clean? Go to the priest. Go see the priest. Now, they weren't healed right then. He gave them an action to do, though. You believe? You trust me? Then you've got to take action. You've got to go do something. What is it they had to go do? Go see the priest. What happened when they took off to go see the priest? They were clean. And it struck me, the Lord is often looking just like the judge, the unjust judge. The Lord gave us that story because He wants us to understand He's willing to take action on our behalf if we are willing to take action on His. Oftentimes I think, and I, like I said, I'm looking at my personal life, things I've had before the Lord. What actions am I taking for the Lord? Am I willing to, dare I say, look like a fool for Him? What do you think would have happened to the man that they said, such as I have, give me in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, if he had went to jump up and then just fell over? They'd have looked kind of foolish, wouldn't they? Right there in the porch of the temple? Do you think we can let things like that start getting into our heads? Well, Lord, if you want me to make a declaration like that on your behalf, where does our trust start going? Are we willing to take that step? Not to call out Amy, but you know, think about Amy. She's not walked in her life. Would one of us feel comfortable going up to Amy and saying, Amy, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk? That's what they did. It's been a challenge to my mind. Where am I at in my faith? Am I really as deep in my faith as I thought I was? I can tell you based on that scenario, I would struggle with that. My human brain would try to put logic into it and try to put all kinds of things into it that would limit the power of God. And so that's why I think Christ did ask the question, will there be faith when He returns? Will we really, truly believe? Looking on down into James, James chapter 2, starting in verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. What struck me about this is you can have a belief. The devils do too. The devils have a belief in our God. They believe He's the omnipotent God just like we do. Belief alone isn't what's needed. The devils even tremble before him. You could say, well, I bow and respect and tremble before the Lord, and you still haven't made yourself any different than the devils. What's the difference? Do the devils obey? Do the devils follow God's command? Step out on His promises? Or do they fight and push back and withhold? Thinking of Abraham, asked to offer up his own son. What was his actions like going out there? And I'm not going to turn to the story. We all should have heard it plenty of times. Did he say, well, if Isaac and I are going to go up here and then I'll come back because I'm going to go kill Isaac. And, you know, I don't know where we're going to bury him at, but, you know, start thinking about that, guys, because once he's dead, we'll need to do something with the body. Did he say that? No. What was his actions? Me and the young man are going to go up and we're going to come back. Almost seems like a lie, if you will, knowing what he was going to go do, doesn't it? No logic in that statement to the people. Well, you know, how many of them possibly knew he was going to go up there to sacrifice his son, thinking, what do you mean you and the boy are coming back? Yeah, you're bringing back dead. But he went all the way up there and went to slay his son. The guy said, stop. Not only have you been speaking it that you believe me, but you were going to actually kill your son. And, you know, God could have raised Isaac from the dead. He could have done that. But he chose not to. But it was that active part of Abraham's faith that made it complete. Just simply talking about it, but not acting on it, was nothing, no different than a lot of the beliefs in the world today. You know, people believe what they want, but how many of them truly act on it? Act on it with a conviction that, you know, no matter what, this is how I believe. The young Hebrew men and going up to the fiery furnace. Okay, we're not careful to answer you. You know, you're asking us who can save. Our God can save us. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to disrespect Him. Active faith. And once again, did God say, okay, that's good enough? No, He let him actually get thrown all the way into the fire. Brother Tony probably feels like he's been close to the fire a few times based on his testimony. I was touched by that testimony. How many of us are willing to take a stand on our faith and say, Lord, I feel like you put me in this spot. I feel like you want me to do this. I'm not seeing how it's going to work out right now. I don't understand. But I know one thing, you're God. And because you're God, guess what, Lord? I'm willing to go. I'm willing to be bound and thrown in the furnace. I'm willing to step out of the boat and be the only second man we know of to walk on water. Think about your own lives, because I've definitely been thinking about mine. What is the Lord asking you to do that's challenging your faith? And then think about, are you pondering it, analyzing it, trying to figure out a human way to make it happen safely? With Abraham, what was a safe way to offer Isaac up? Sometimes what the Lord is going to ask us to do, there is no safe way. You just have to step out and say, Lord, I'm committed. I don't know how it's going to go down, but you gave me this promise, but you're asking me to do this. They look like they're at odds with each other, but you are the God Almighty of the universe. I believe you. I trust you, and I'm going to act. That shows that I have that belief and trust. I would challenge all of us. That is something the Lord has really put a burden on my heart like I said, for me personally, but for us as a whole, as a people, the world is watching Christians. We are being observed every day. I'd like to drop down to Revelations chapter 3. Verses 1 or 2, 1 and 2. Revelations chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And the angel of the church, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now, studying on this part, and you think, well, what does this have to do with an active living faith? This is an example of what the world sees without one. This church, there at the end of verse 1, the Lord says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest. You're claiming you're alive. You're claiming you have a full-blown belief and active faith, but you're dead. And why did he say it was dead? For I have not found thy works perfect before the Lord in verse 2. Now that works not perfect before God means not complete. They were performing many duties, but they weren't performing any duty to completion. They were constantly beginning, but never bringing anything to its proper end. They were maintaining a reputation before men, but not necessarily caring what God saw. And it's been a challenge to me. My faith, what is it? Why do I act the way I do? Is it because I truly have the faith in God? Or is it because I need and desire the respect of men? Do I act a certain way to fit in with a social group? In the world, there's lots of churches that teach prosperity gospels. There's some, I've heard them called the name it and claim it. You know, well, we're sons of, you know, God just like Jesus is by adoption, and so we can speak things into existence just like God. But why do we believe? A lot of those, if you listen to their belief, it's about them. I'm going to speak good to me. I'm going to speak good to myself. I may even speak good to you. But how do I know I'm prospering? Well, if my soul's prospering, I should be healthy, wealthy. And therefore, if I'm not healthy and wealthy, then according to their teachings, that your soul's not either. Sorry. You know that's not Bible. You talk to some of those people and their faith struggles when they hit hard times. When their prosperity just doesn't happen. We have to learn, do we have the faith to really step out and be a fool for the Lord? Are we willing to potentially walk up to that stranger and say, you know something? You've never seen me before. In one of the stories, I thought I'd put it in here, but I didn't. Peter, one of them, it said they looked at a man and realized that he had the faith to be healed. And so they told him, rise up, walk. Do we have that discernment? To be able to look at people and say, they've got faith. Because, you know, I think that that's part of what it is. The story of the disciples when they couldn't cast out the devil. I thought it was interesting the reason why Jesus said they probably failed. It said, this kind come not out but by what? Prayer and fasting. Action. You couldn't just believe and trust that devil out. You had to take some time, bend some prayer bones, get before the Lord, afflict yourself because you were doing battle. Where was their faith? Had they gotten complacent? Thinking, oh, we believe, we trust, we just have to speak. It's gotten easy, right? Not always. My experience been so far is just when things are getting easy, you're about to get the next lesson in learning how to follow the Lord. It's just my personal experience, folks. It's not that He's a hard taskmaster, but He is going to have you learn. And if you will stick with it, like the brother said, you will come out the other side looking back and say, Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful place. I am so happy I trusted You, that I followed You, that I took the actions You wanted me to do. You won't regret it. And even if you do have the moments of doubt here on earth, when you get home, all doubts will be gone. We will have no doubts when we get to heaven. I would challenge all of us, take a good, close look at what you're calling faith and try to determine how active is it. Am I actually acting on this faith, or am I just walking around talking about it, telling everybody I believe? But at the end of the day, I'm not getting out of the boat. I'm not challenging anybody around me to stand up for the Lord to get healed, spiritually or otherwise. I would challenge all of us, let's not be like Sardis and just have a reputation for being alive. But let's make sure that we truly do have that spiritual life in us. Y'all pray for me.